Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Similar to what we did the previous week and a half or 2 weeks ago, I actually really don't know when I'm going to upload this. I'm going to be speaking to you about Archangel Uriel. As I said before, I think it's really good to do a complete review of the Archangels. I know a lot of people connect with the Archangels and want to work with them and build a close connection. So I really wanted to give you kind of a comprehensive review of how we know these archangels. You know, what books can you review or research so that you can learn about them individually. But also my goal is to provide you a channeled message at the end of each episode so you can hear directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So today is all about my very close Archangel connection, Archangel Uriel. You know, it's very funny when you start going through your own journey in terms of, you know, who decides to show up and why they show up and for how long they're there. To be honest with you, at the very beginning of this journey for me, Archangel Michael and Archangel Azrael were very, very dominant in my life. They oversaw everything. Whenever I was practicing channeling, etc., they were the ones who were always there. And now for the past 4 or 5 years, it really has been Archangel Uriel right beside me and Raphael. So they're more prevalent in my life today. So I think I have a better understanding of them as of now after these years. But let's go ahead and dive into Archangel Uriel. So he really has captivated the imaginations for millennia. Although he's not explicitly mentioned in the canonical Bible, his presence really does shine through a number of ancient texts, through folklore, and through various religious traditions. He's known as the Angel of Wisdom, which I think is highly appropriate because he is quite wise. He shines the light of God's truth into the darkness of confusion. His name means God is my light, or the fire of God. And there are multiple spellings of his name, in other texts, he's referred to as Uziel, Uziel, Oriel, Oriel with an A-U, Suriel, Urien, and Urien. So, you know, if you're doing your own personal deep dive, you're going to find these variations of his name. And you're probably wondering, well, can I just call him one of these variations? I'm sure you can. I think it's also Fanuel with a P-H. I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive that that's another reference to him. But whatever name, you know, is you're most connected to or most drawn to, you can, you know, call upon him in that way. I would say also in art and art references, he's often depicted carrying either a book or a scroll, which both of them are supposed to represent wisdom and God's truth. So like his fellow archangels, he has an angelic energy color. And in this case, he is red. And this is supposed to represent him and the work he performs. And some other sources do attribute the color yellow or gold to Uriel, which is funny because for me, my intuition always says that it's yellow. But a lot of people, upon my research, say that it is red. So if you are meditating and you see a red spark, a gold spark, which could also, by the way, be your guardian angels or another being, but if you see that red spark, it actually could be Uriel that's right with you. Now, as I said before, he's not mentioned in any canonical religious texts from the world's major religions, but he is mentioned significantly in religious apocryphal texts. So apocryphal texts are religious works that were included in some early versions of the Bible, but today they're considered to be secondary in importance to the scripture of the Old and the New Testament. So what I'm going to do is present to you some early glimpses of Uriel. There's quite a bit to say here, and I know it can get really dry, but I really wanted to highlight his role, his responsibilities from these apocryphal texts, because that's where we draw the meaning of who he is and what he oversees and how he helps humanity. So trying to make sure that it's not super dry to all of you. So how do we know about Uriel? Well, we know of him from the lovely Book of Enoch. I've probably mentioned this book years ago, and if you've done your own personal research, you probably know of the Book of Enoch, or maybe you've even read it. It is a wild ride. But then again, when you think of, you know, the Old Testament, that's quite a wild ride in itself. So I guess it's not really that unusual. So the Book of Enoch was written around the 2nd century BCE, and it's one of the most extensive mentions of Uriel. So this book describes Uriel as one of the 7 archangels who presides over the world. And in this case, he's portrayed as an angel of repentance, wisdom, and light, guiding our friend Noah. I think you all know in the ark, guiding Noah about the impending flood, and also revealing celestial secrets if you go to chapter 10 in the Book of Enoch. So he's also mentioned in chapter 9 in the Book of Enoch, but this is interesting because in chapter 9 it's called the Book of the Watchers, which is an also interesting story. But in the Book of Watchers, it tells us that Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel were present before God to testify on behalf of humankind. They asked for the divine intervention during the reign of the fallen Grigori, and the Grigori were the fallen watchers. So the fallen ones took human wives, and they produced half-angel, half-human offspring, which were called the Nephilim. I did an episode on this. God, it had to have been 5 years ago now. It was so freaking long ago, you guys. But for some strange reason, over the past months, I have just been going down this crazy rabbit hole of Watchers, the Nephilim, all that great stuff on YouTube. It really draws you in. And if anything, it's an interesting story. So in Enoch chapters 19 and 20, Uriel reveals that the fallen angels who rebelled against God, they're going to be judged. And he ends up showing Enoch a vision of where they are bound until the infinite number of the days of their crimes to be completed. So again, Enoch chapter 21, section 3. Now I'm going to read you a quick excerpt from the Book of Enoch. I think this is helpful because it references Uriel. Then said the Most High, the Holy and Great One spoke, and sent Uriel to the son of Lamech, and said to him, "Go to Noah and tell him in my name, hide thyself, and reveal to him that the end is approaching, that the whole earth will be destroyed, and a deluge is about to come upon the whole earth and will destroy all that is on it." So after judgment has been brought upon the Nephilim and the fallen ones, you can also see this in the Book of Giants, which again is another complete rabbit hole that I've gone down, God help me. So after we have the judgment that's been brought upon the Nephilim, including the two main leaders, and the two main leaders were Azazel, and the other one was called, I'm probably mispronouncing this, but Samyaza. So Uriel ends up discussing their fates. And Uriel said to me, and this is in the Book of Enoch, "Here shall stand the angels who have connected themselves with women, and their spirits, assuming many different forms, are defiling mankind, and shall lead them astray into sacrificing to demons as gods. Here shall they stand, till the day of the great judgment, in which they shall be destroyed, till they are made an end of. And the women also of the angels who went astray shall become sirens." Kind of weird, right? "And I, Enoch alone, saw the vision, the ends of all things, and no man shall see as I've seen." Uriel then acts as a guide for Enoch for the rest of the Book of the Watchers. He fulfills this capacity in many of the other books that make up Enoch. So how else do we know of Uriel? Where else does he show up? Well, he does show up in Jewish mysticism. In Kabbalah, Uriel is considered the angel of Sunday and the ruler of this. I'm probably mispronouncing all of this, you guys. I'm not really that schooled in Kabbalah, but he is mentioned as representing strength and divine judgment. Let's move on to another text that mentions Uriel, and we find this in the Jewish and Christian apocryphal text, 2 Esdras. In this book, God sends Uriel to answer a series of questions that the prophet Ezra asks God. When answering Ezra's questions, Uriel tells him that, you know, God has sent him to describe signs about good and evil at work in the world, but it's still going to be difficult for Ezra to understand him from his limited perspective. Uriel says to Ezra, "You cannot understand the things with which you have grown up. How then can your mind comprehend the way of the Most High? And how can one who was already worn out by the corrupt world understand incorruption?" When Ezra asks questions about his personal life, such as how long he'll live, Uriel replies, "Concerning the signs about which you ask me, I can tell you in part, but I was not sent to tell you concerning your life, for I do not know." Uriel is also mentioned in various Christian apocryphal gospels where he is responsible for rescuing John the Baptist from being murdered by King Herod's order to massacre young boys, which occurred around the time of Jesus Christ's birth. Uriel is also mentioned in the Secret Book of John, which is an early Gnostic work where he's placed in control over the demons who helped to create Adam. Crazy long story. I do think it is definitely worth a read. I read this some years back. Other apocrypha that mentions Uriel includes the life of Adam and Eve and the apocalypse of Peter. So let's get just a tiny bit into the apocalypse of Peter here, because in this text, Uriel primarily takes on two functions. He takes on the function of the gatekeeper and the guide, but also he acts as an interpreter and a revealer. So I'm just going to give you a little bit about this, and then we'll move on more about his roles and responsibilities. So in terms of being a gatekeeper and a guide, he leads Peter through the seven heavens, each with its own gatekeeper and challenges. Uriel instructs Peter on proper conduct, and he provides explanations for what they encounter. He reveals the mysteries of each heaven, including information about the angels, their roles, and the rewards and punishments for different souls. Let's talk about him as an interpreter and a revealer in this case. So upon reaching the seventh heaven, Uriel interprets visions that Peter witnesses regarding the future of humanity, including judgments, tribulations, and the ultimate renewal of creation. He unveils knowledge about the afterlife, explaining the various realms and fates that await people based on their actions. So although the specific pronouncements attributed to Uriel in this text might not be considered universally divine knowledge, the text offers, I think, insights into different theological concepts and interpretations, even of the afterlife. So some of the key revelations attributed to Uriel include, 1, the existence of seven heavens, each with its own unique characteristic and its function. It also reveals the role of angels in mediating between the divine and the human realms. 3, the importance of repentance and right living for achieving salvation. And then 4, the temporary nature of suffering and the eventual renewal of all things. It's really important to remember that interpretations of apocryphal texts vary widely, and information that's presented in the Apocalypse of Peter should be approached with an open mind and also with critical awareness. However, exploring Uriel's role in this text specifically can offer valuable perspectives on his character, on his association with knowledge and guidance, and how he interacts with humanity in the afterlife. So we glean again a little bit about his roles and responsibilities, but let's talk about it some more. So from my perspective, and then also from doing my research, I've kind of summarized here what I think, you know, he's well known for. 1, wisdom and prophecy. So he's traditionally depicted as an angel of wisdom and prophecy. He's bringing divine knowledge and enlightenment to prophets and to visionaries. He's also associated with protection, and we usually wouldn't put him in that category because when we think of having protection, we go to Archangel Michael. But no, he's also historically associated with protecting and guarding humanity from evil forces. He has a connection to repentance. This signifies his role in helping individuals acknowledge their mistakes and transform their lives. And some traditions even link Uriel to the element of fire. This is something that's pretty common. And I even link him to fire because whenever I engage with him, there is that particular element associated with him. And he's also seen as a guardian of the earth and its creatures. So that's kind of how we know about Uriel. It is very interesting just to kind of do a deep dive into some of these texts to see the part that he plays. But why should we connect with Uriel? Number one, he provides guidance and clarity. His light, his information can really illuminate your path. And he can help you with making better informed decisions and navigating like the challenges of life. I think all of the archangels can really do this, but there's something about Uriel. Whenever I dialogue with him, it's very no BS. It's very direct. And he also, to me personally, offers the tough love that's necessary in a lot of situations, right? He's also the archangel of inner strength and empowerment. So his energy can really help you with issues of confidence and courage. And his goal is to help you overcome obstacles and pursue your dreams. Another reason to connect with him is that his wisdom can guide you on your spiritual journey. So he can help to deepen your connection to the divine and unlock your full potential. Lastly, I would say a good reason to connect to Uriel is that, he's very compassionate, but he's all about service, right? So he can help cultivate greater compassion for yourself and for others. And his goal is to really help to create this just and harmonious world. But he really is also about service, being of service and taking action steps. So be mindful of that. Now, I think a lot of people turn to him before they make decisions if they need help with solving problems or resolving conflicts. But they also help go to him when they need to kind of let go of some of their more destructive emotions, such as anxiety and anger, because these prevent you from, discerning wisdom or even recognizing dangerous situations, right? So it's really important to connect to him for, those reasons, and he can help in a whole host of ways. I'm sure that what I'm providing you is just such a small list, and that his scope, again, is so large that I just don't even have that knowledge. But at the same time, when I talk about the fact that these angels, are specifically helping you in this way, that is not the only way. So yes, you can go to Raphael for healing as an example, but I'm sure there's even much more that you can go for him to. But if you called upon Raphael for something, something in particular, and somebody else comes, let's say Gabriel comes, well, accept the help. They're there to help you for a reason in particular. How can we connect with Uriel? Again, this is a question that I get often. How do I connect with my guides? How do I connect with the angels, archangels? It's not difficult, I promise you. I know there are frustrations associated with this because sometimes you may not be able to see, hear, or feel them. But again, that doesn't mean they're not there. Give them a second, they'll pop up. So how can we go about connecting with Uriel? Well, of course, through prayer and meditation. I know this is very redundant, but these are the actual ways. So you can direct your prayers directly to Uriel. You can have a meditation with Uriel and invite his wisdom, his protection. Ask for any insights on specific challenges that you may have. Just talk, communicate. I spoke about this in the last episode with Raphael, but through visualization. So you can imagine yourself connecting with Uriel's energy, his flaming light. You can imagine that he's sitting there right in front of you, talking with you. And I highly advise you do this because, again, once you start to create this picture in your mind, you open the door to a space that is specific for him to enter. His energy will be present. Even if he's sitting there in front of you talking to you, I would say most of the time people still will question and doubt, what he's saying am I really hearing this, or am I making this up? Is this real? Is what he's saying accurate? If the information is helpful, objective, and compassionate, then I don't see the harm in listening to what he has to say. Consider spending time in nature and connecting with the elements, or even the element of fire, and call upon Uriel so that you can get some guidance. You can also work with Uriel through some form of creative expression, whether it is through writing, whether it is through music, just some form as well. But it is your responsibility to call upon him for the guidance. This does not mean that they won't come, even if you don't. Of course they're there. Of course they're going to want to help you with situations. That's their job, is to come and help and serve humanity. I would say don't be afraid to open the door to the archangels. They really are messengers, but if anything, more than anything, they're wonderful helpers. I think sometimes people have a picture in their mind of what the dialogue is supposed to look like between yourself and an archangel. I think just because of how they're pictured in art, and maybe how they have been portrayed in, let's say, film. What I can tell you is from only my personal experience, is that when I converse and when I have spoken with each archangel, some of them are more direct. And yes, they do talk about real world issues. Some people, for some reason, think that they do not have holistic knowledge, that they're very limited, only the light. No, they see it all. So they're willing to communicate about everything and give you their perspective. Yes, certain archangels are definitely way more direct, and Uriel is one of them, like Archangel Michael, who also has a bit of has a great sense of humor. And then others are definitely very, very soft in the way they approach you and speak to you. And sometimes that's really needed as well. All right. So this was everything about Uriel. I sat down to channel Uriel to give you guys some information. You know, usually when I sit down to channel, I pick a topic. I already know what I want to talk about or have them talk about. But this time I'm approaching it differently, and I'm allowing them to speak about things they think is really important for you guys to hear. Obviously, they know who you are, who's actually listening to this show. So hopefully the information is super helpful for you. Thank you again for listening to this week's episode, and I am hopeful that it has been helpful. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining me for this channeling session with Archangel Uriel. So he's already here with me, and we've been kind of chit-chatting a little bit before we get started. And the topic that he wants to bring to your attention today is really about partnering with the inner self. I just heard that. So that's where we're going to go, and we're going to see what he wants to talk about today. He said, you know, he wants you to embark on a path of true divinity, really working with and collaborating with your higher self. He said, many of you have asked, how can I really access the true wisdom of the divine mind, or of the hive mind, or the higher self? Many of you ask this question, yet you look elsewhere for answers rather than follow what many of you have already heard, which comes from many wisdom traditions or wisdom teachings from around the world. And what do they all say? Look inside yourself. This is not a new message for many of you. Many of you have heard this many times, or you see it. This is hilarious. You see it in some form or fashion on an Instagram page or some sort of social media form, where you're told all the answers are inside of you, and many of you gesture and nod your head that you understand this. Yet how does one actually do this, and how does one apply this? Because many of you still look for guidance elsewhere. So his goal today is to bring to your attention the wisdom that lives inside of you, as opposed to looking elsewhere for answers. Why does he want to talk about this? I'm asking him. He said, because many of you right now have a lot of burdens in your life with the changes that are happening in the world, you know, which some of them, which are harmful. And there are so many burdens in your life right now that his goal is to help bring your attention to the divine mind, wherein you can access the answers that you need to live more abundantly, to relieve yourself of the pressures that you've been experiencing in this life. He said he understands, of course, that some of these things are lessons for each and every one of us. Everything here is a teacher. However, it is the fact that we are not listening to our higher selves or the voice of the inside, the guidance that is keeping us from moving beyond some of these difficult lessons or learning the lessons and finding a new way or seeing things differently on the path. So that's why today he's refocusing your attention on the inner self. So he said, what does it mean to access the inner self? He said, it is a privilege that you have. It is a gift. It is the love of, we'll call it source, that lives inside of every one of us, that contains all the answers, all the wisdom that you need for this life. So he said, you bring that with you. You carry this into this life. Whenever you come and incarnate into a new human being, a new form, physical form, he says, you bring the answers that you need. Your higher self is aware of the journey ahead. It knows what it needs. It knows the information that it needs with it. Therefore, it is pre-packaged and downloaded, is what he just said, for the ride. However, it lives inside of you. And it's been dormant, and it is an untapped space for many of you. And it is a challenge to access simply because many of you are more willing to listen to the inner guidance of another than to the inner guidance of your own self. For some reason, many of you think that what you believe, what you hear, what you know is invalid. And yet you trust the words of another. But the same divinity that lives in them lives in you also. So why deny it? By denying it, you're holding yourself back. And it is such an untapped resource and a wealth of knowledge that you have. You also contain the same insight. So he just wants to remind you of this, especially if you're feeling burdened, especially if you feel like you've been looking for answers and you can't find any. If you've been searching, searching, searching. He said the search is now over. Heed his words and heed his thoughts. So he's going to tell you how to access this untapped wisdom. And he said also that there are many teachers out there who teach this way, who tell you how to access the inner self, the inner voice. And he said many of you have these teachers, have gone to teachers, but the difficulty is applying what you're learning in your life, but also making the commitment to yourself to change your lifestyle, because it is a lifestyle change. And he said spirituality is the embodiment of the divine, which means it is the way you live. It is the way you breathe. It is how you carry yourself. It is the actions that you take. Your belief system, your spirituality infuses everything, right? There's no separation. But many of you, he said, can read a wisdom book and then put it away, tuck it away. And then everything that you've learned from that book, you don't apply it in your life. He said, you have acquired data, acquired information, yet you don't apply it to your daily living. And that is the key. He said, in order to see the change on the outside, you have to apply what you've been learning on a daily basis. And commitment is always required. So it is a lifestyle change, but a healthy one. So how do we, he said, access this insight? How do we build a relationship with our higher self? Well, first and foremost, he said, it is a recognition that you are divine, that you are a divine being and you have access to a divine mind. The divine mind is also in you, that there's no separation. And that is simply an illusion that most of us believe in, but it's not real. So he said, you need to not only remember this, but you really need to believe that, because many people don't. They hear these phrases, yet they haven't, it has not been imprinted in the self, is what he said. So he said, if you truly are aware, if you truly know that you are the carrier of all that is, then life could be quite different for you. The experience of life could be quite different for you. Your outlook will definitely change. And then he said, remember, everything that happens on the inside then is projected on the outside of life. So that's why we're working on the plane of the inner self first, always. That's the beginning of all things. So he said, in order to access the inner wisdom or the higher mind within the self, he said, it simply takes an initiation upon you to initiate a dialogue with the voice of your higher self. What does this mean? He said, for instance, say hello is not that hard. Saying hello, acknowledging your true beingness, that it is there and it is dormant and it has been waiting for you to listen to it, to communicate with it. So say hello first, acknowledge its being. And then when you are ready, he said, in a quiet space, sit down and ask what it wants to reveal to you. And then your job is to be in the position of listening. He said, you are in the receptive mode in that instance. Think of it as a data download from your inner self. And then once you've received the answer, ask for more information. And then so on and so forth. He said, the difficulty lies in numerous places. Number one, he said, many of you believe that if you do this, you're not going to hear anything, that nothing is going to happen. And so that in itself already holds you back. Number two, you might do it once, and then if nothing happens, then you quit. The other issue is in the commitment, is the consistency of the practice. Building a relationship takes work. This means you have to be consistent in asking, consistent in listening, and then next, consistent in believing and trusting, he said, which is a difficulty for many of us, is that through our practice, we may be shown, there may be revelations, or we may, you know, have thoughts downloaded into our mind. Even with that, we still doubt, we won't believe it, because it doesn't align with our current thinking. And he said, and this is why your heart has to be open. And you also have to have that little willingness to really believe and trust what you are hearing, but also trust that it is coming from the wisdom of the source, the higher self, and that it is for your benefit. He's saying it's not deceitful. It's not trying to trick you. It's trying to help you. So building a relationship takes, number one, communication, trust, believing, but it is the commitment within itself. And he's saying, yes, at first, the spirit comes in a voice of a whisper. But with time and commitment and practice, the voice will grow louder over time. He said, it will become second nature to you. You will start to hear it louder, 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 the more you interact with it, the more you ask before any decision making, whether small or large, regardless of what it is. He said, take a step back and ask, and then listen for the answer before you make any decision. And as you do this over time, that voice will become so loud, so quick. So he wants you to really make the commitment here, really try this, really begin to develop that relationship. He said, that is your guidance system. That is your compass. Listen to that, trust that more, and believe what it says. He said, many of you right now are very curious if this is really going to work. He said, many of you right now are even doubting it because maybe you've tried it once, but then you gave it up. He said, this is a lifestyle. This is a commitment to your own self, to your own heart. But it takes work like everything else. All the answers that you've been seeking are there for the taking. So make the time to sit down and to connect to that. And he said, for some of you, the answer may come in the form of a vision. And then, okay, there's something else he wants to talk about. I'm putting this on the side really quick. And then he said, for others, you will start to hear the words. And then others, it is a knowing. It is like all of a sudden, boom, you had a thought out of nowhere. He said, trust that thought. It was a download for you. And then act accordingly. Don't question it so much. The questioning is what causes the blockages. So now he wants to talk about discerning the inner voice from the ego mind. So he said, inner dialogue, ego mind. Okay. So he said, many of you have very overactive egos. It's what drives your actions on this plane. And that we rely more on that than our own inner selves. And that we trust that voice more because it is the loudest voice. But it is a fear-based voice and it is unhelpful. It distorts your vision or your perception. So he wants you to learn to discern between the voice of the higher self and the voice of the ego. That is why it is necessary for you, before any decision making, he says, to take a pause, because you are naturally inclined to just react based on your natural inclinations. And he said the natural inclinations are autopilot, but to change the self takes work and it takes practice. Therefore, instead of reacting in a normal way, we have to stop and pause and then ask our higher selves for support or guidance when it comes to making a decision or before reacting. And he said, when you get into the habit of doing that, things will change because you will start listening to the guidance of your inner self. And also you'll begin to hear the difference or see the difference between the ego's reaction and then what the inner guidance says. And he says, listen to the two. What do they sound like? And he said, the inner voice is a very unique voice. It has unique guidance to give. It is super helpful and it is holistic. It is not limited in its capacity to help, but it's also not limited in its capacity to provide solutions to you. He said, most of the time, your ego, again, is giving you the worst case scenario. That's how you know it is not the inner voice or the inner workings of the self, he said. So he wants you to also think about that on this journey. But he said, commitment, commitment, commitment is necessary. Any changes that you want to see in your life have to come within first. And then when you have the changes from within, you will start to see things change on the outside because they are reflections from within the self, he said. This is something that he wants many of you to begin to embark upon. He said, many of you are spending your time researching for answers. And while knowledge is just as important, he said, some of the questions that you have in your personal life, some of the patterns that you've been re-experiencing in your life over and over and over, he said, it's time to sit down and ask why, so that you can heal what's happening. But he said the insight that you have on the inside is what is going to help you the most here. So again, instead of going to so many different people for the answers and trusting their guidance, he said, trust your own. And make this super important in your life. Make it number one, he said. So that is the path to take, he said, for everybody. So he wants you to make a commitment to yourself because it really is an act of self-love. And also because many of you, he said, are carrying a lot of burdens right now. And you have a lot of questions about this. In order to get to the root, you have to ask yourself and then trust the answers that come. Once you begin on this path, once you initiate this plan, he said, of change, of the constant checking in with the self for answers, you will start to see patterns change, he said, because you will have an awareness that you did not have before. But that awareness cannot come without working with the inner self. He said, he also saying action is required. So when you're checking on the inside for insight for anything, usually your higher self or your higher guide is what he actually just said, will help you in a way that is, yes, unique, but help you to heal parts of you that need to be restored. And it is with that healing where you will start to see things change. And he said, with healing, you know, change always comes. So he just wants to bring that to your awareness or your attention. So embark on this path and trust the inner guidance. And he's saying again, once you begin to listen to that inner guidance every day, throughout the day, and you make a commitment to this, that voice will become the dominant voice. So keep that in your mind as you're doing this work. All right, I think that's enough for today, Uriel. I think he got the point across. So I hope this has been super helpful. I'm very grateful that he's here to help with that. That's always helpful for me too. But anyway, everybody, until next week, I hope you have a great week ahead. Take care.